and welcome to IVF BFF with me, Sian.
And me, Catherine.
A podcast about two friends on their respective IVF treatment in real time at the same time.
Join us as we lift the lid and demystify all things to do with the fertility journey, sharing each step as it happens, from the highs to the lows and everything in between. Hello!
Another episode.
Another one.
Yeah. Big week.
Oh my goodness. We have so much to talk about this week.
Yeah.
Don't we?
Yeah. Right now you're eggless.
Yeah. Like they're out, baby.
They're not inside you anymore.
They're not inside me anymore. It's a really weird thing.
Oh my God. How are you doing?
I know.
How are you feeling?
I'm all right. Yeah. So, by the way, Carl is loving his newfound success off the back of our episode. He's like, the listeners will probably ask for me.
To be fair.
I was like, right, okay.
He was brilliant.
It was a good ep, wasn't it?
It was good. It went well.
We need to get Andrew on.
Yeah.
Next.
I did say to him, what about next week? And he went, yeah.
Ooh.
Andrew's a very private person, but it's very, it's going to be good for him, I think. I think it will be like therapy.
Next week, though, is a big week for you. So
yeah.
We could probably just focus on you next week.
Oh, yeah,
But let's kind of summarise. So this week we've both had, well, I've had a big week. You've had quite a big week. Treatment is like ramping up. So we thought we'd just kind of focus on your week, my week this week.
Yeah.
Your week, my week this week.
I think you should go first because you've got so much.
Okay, right. I feel like I've lived about 5 different weeks in the space of this week. So the last time we spoke on here, I went in for a scan on the Friday. That was last Friday. And they upped my dose.
Why did they do that, Catherine?
Well, because my follicles were growing, but like they needed a bit of a boost. They weren't like, yeah, they were growing quite slowly, but they were like, it's fine. It's nothing to worry about, you know. So they upped my dose and I've got the kind of ovaries that have the potential to overstimulate. So they were being really, really careful. And they were like, we need to make sure that we kind of stimulate them all at once and kind of slowly, slowly, softly, softly, catchy monkey, that sort of thing. So they upped my dose, sent me away over the weekend. And I was like, cool. And I was back in for a scan on the Monday. So this Monday just gone? So went back in for a scan and lovely nurse, Aoife, scanned me and she said they're all now growing because my egg collection was kind of scheduled for Wednesday, but we thought we might push it back to Friday, which is this Friday just gone. But she was like, yeah, that she said that new dose has really done the trick. They're all growing nicely. They mark it on this chart, which at first seems really gobbledygook. But then once you get used to it, you kind of see them coming up on the chart and see how many kind of follicles are getting bigger.
And
so I was like,
great,
amazing.
Where you want
the red line. You want them by the time of egg collection, you want them over the red line. And so she was really positive. She was like, yeah, all looking good. We'll keep you going for a little bit longer and we'll do egg collection on Friday. And I asked that age-old question, which I think everybody asks. I went, how many eggs do you think I'm going to get? Now, I am quite glad I asked, you know, eventually, but that question led me on a bit of a journey and a bit of a reckoning with it. So I've been told all the time that I've got these ovaries that could overstimulate. I've got a lot of follicles. Every appointment has been like, you've got loads of follicles. I think I said last time that I quite naively thought that a lot of follicles meant a lot of eggs. And last week, I think I said, oh, actually, I'm starting to get the inkling that that's not always the case.
And I remember after your appointment, you kind of messaged me and you were a bit concerned, weren't you?
Yeah, well, I asked how many eggs, and because everyone's been talking about overstimulating, oh, we don't want you to overstimulate. So I'm like, well, great, like, you're not going to overstimulate me, but we're going to land somewhere in the middle. We're not going to understimulate me. And I just had no real idea. And when I heard that I had like 23 follicles, and actually by the time we did egg collection, I had 32. Jesus. So I had a bloody lot of follicles. Yeah, a lot of them down there. But as I say, it's not a direct parallel, and I kind of learnt that because I asked this lovely nurse how many eggs, which is a really hard question, but she's like, oh, I think a good, and she really cheerfully said, you know, a really good, you know, 7-8 eggs. And I went, what? I was like, oh, okay. And she was like, yeah, well, we're trying to get good quality eggs rather than loads of eggs that just aren't mature or that are too mature, but ones that are the right, exactly the right size, which does make sense. But obviously I went away and I was so disappointed with that number.
I think you have to explain to listeners as well about the sort of the funnel effect, because I think people who don't know, they'll go, hang on a minute. Even if you have 32 follicles, you know, you've got 7 or 8. So that's fine, because that's like a whole freaking more than a family.
That's a football team, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is the thing. And also, I want to preface this with we can't get too bogged down with numbers because it doesn't mean anything. Everyone's totally different, but we do get bogged down with numbers. And I know as well that for some people, 7 or 8 eggs would be the absolute dream. So I have to say that as well. But when you do IVF, if you don't know, you might think, oh, 7 eggs, 7 babies, great. Uh-huh. But it doesn't work like that because there is a natural kind of tapering off where you get your eggs and then you find out how many are mature and good quality, usable, and then you find out how many fertilize and that's less again, and then how many make it to day 3 and that might be less, and then to day 5, and there's this kind of funnel effect where it kind of whittles down. So yeah. I think everyone in our position just wants I think it's quite natural to want as many as possible, because then you know that you're gonna lose some along the way. So yeah, I came out of there really, really upset. But again, this is an indication as well of how my emotions and my hormones have been. Because I'm sure part of it is the hormones, because I was unusually upset and I was waiting for, I had to get extra medication. So I went down to the pharmacy. I just remember being on the phone to Carl and was filling him in. And I was just like, I just burst into tears and I just said, I just want our family in the freezer, which sounds really silly. But you do think about that. You go, first of all, I really hope, and I still hope for frozen, like, you know, extra more embryos to freeze, because if it doesn't work, you can go and use one of those for a second time and not have to go through the whole thing again. And being really naive and optimistic, if it does work, I'm like, great, we've got like potential siblings, and I know I should focus on the one baby because the one is quite hard to make, it turns out. And you know what, I still say, if our family looks like me, Carl, the dog and a baby, great. If that is our family, then we'd be the luckiest, we really would. But yeah, I just had a bit of a meltdown about it. And then I was like, well, are they understimulating me? Oh my goodness. Like, I just felt like it wasn't a good number of follicles to number of eggs. So I'm really glad I did, but I emailed and I just said, oh, can I stimulate for a bit longer? I just kind of emailed the nurses and said that I'm a bit concerned. And we don't know these things. And the conversation we had actually showed me that we really don't know so much about the medical side of it and the reasons. And then lovely nurse Laura, she gave me a call, and she was like, I thought I'd just phone you. She was like, look, this is why we've done this with you. She said, we want to get a number of good quality eggs rather than loads and loads of eggs. She was like, we've seen, you know, 30 eggs and no baby at the end, but we've also seen, you know, 5 eggs and a baby at the end. She's like, it's just, we want to make sure the eggs we get are exactly at the right time, you know, they're prime, they're at the right kind of maturity. And she said also, which I didn't realize, She said, if we'd have started you on a higher dose, because they were kind of eking me up, like, bit by bit. She said, if we started you on a higher dose, we risked one or two follicles taking all of the stimulation and nothing coming up behind. And actually, my eggs and my follicles grew in a nice little cohort, like a little bunch. So after that, I felt so much better. And I really, it's amazing that, you know, she took the time to phone me and chat it through. And I was like, right, okay. And it did, I think it was just a bit of a wake up call. I just kind of like set my sights a bit differently and went, all right, okay, this is what we're working with. And I was like, great, quality over quantity, amazing. So it was a real kind of resetting for me. And then I went in for my scan on Wednesday because they brought me in for another scan and they were like, yep, you're ready for egg collection. We're looking, and she was like, yeah, we're looking at maybe 8 to 10 eggs. So exactly the same information. But on Wednesday, I was over the bloody moon with that. Yeah, I was high as a kite.
That's because, I know, it's just so hard because obviously, like you said, we're not medical professionals. And also, probably different places do things slightly differently as well.
I think they do, yeah. I think every clinic has a slightly different approach. And also, you read so much online on the bloody forums and the...
Oh, my God.
You know, the social media things where you see how many eggs people got and it's like... And you compare yourself and... We're not running the same race here, so it's really important to remember that. But it's so hard when you read all of that stuff and you go, well, why am I not getting that? Like, they've got a better chance than me, that sort of thing. So, and but also, it was a real kind of...
The, when, I don't know where it was, but it was somewhere that I saw online or something I heard where somebody sort of said, oh yeah, well, you need at least like 14 to get one baby.
And you're like, and you know, also
that's scaremongering, really, because
it is, and it's, we've all kind of maybe thrown around a number that's not been true or whatever because we're not medical professionals. But I think I picked up a while back, there was an influencer talking about IVF and she was like, oh yeah, my clinic said that you need at least 30 eggs for the chance of one baby.
30?
It's just not, and I'm like, that was clearly someone just off the cuff going, you need like 30 eggs. And it's like, that's not based on anything. Like, no one is getting, or if they are, it does. Yeah, it's not, it's, that's not true at all. But you hear things like that and you go, oh my God, well, I'm really underperforming here, you know?
Yeah.
But on Wednesday, it's totally different. Again, this is how the drugs can make you feel down one minute and up the next. Like on Wednesday, I was over the moon. I was like, oh my God, amazing. Like 10 eggs. And like, you know, eight. So I got told maybe 8 to 10, maybe a few more, but not sure. But we want good quality ones. And so they said to me at that scan, you are ready for egg collection on Friday. And you know what? I felt so proud of my body in that moment. I was like, yes, we've done it, like we're ready. I'm like, well done body, it grew follicles and it's grown eggs, it's done the thing that we wanted it to do. So that was a bit of a turning around of how I felt about it, but I thought it was important to say because I think there are going to be people thinking the same thing, you know, about how many eggs am I going to get, etc.
And also just so, to add as well that you know, obviously everyone's completely different. But there are so many instances where people only even get a couple of eggs and it works. Yeah,
you hear all sorts, don't you? You hear, you know, I got 30 eggs and it still didn't work for me. And then you hear I got 2 eggs and one of them is now my daughter, that sort of thing. So it's just, it's so hard not to get bogged down in the numbers, but we can't really because everyone is so different. And it's another indicator of how this whole thing is kind of so much is left to chance. But anyway... I went into it, so I was like, yep, kind of signed up, booked in on the Friday. And on Friday morning, I went in for my egg collection. Did the trigger shot on Wednesday night. And the
what's that needle like? That's what I want to know.
It's all right if you've got the same one as me, because there are a couple of different ones. But it was okay. It was a bit like my Firmidel needle, which is scratchier. But you kind of go, right, come on, this is the last one, let's do it. And I feel like, yeah, it was okay. And the trigger is the medicine that you do just before egg collection, 36 hours before egg collection, and it is timed really specifically. So it releases the eggs at exactly the right time when you're like going in for your procedure. My trigger was timed at 11:30 p.m. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have to wake up. I was like, I'm going to be asleep by then.
Get out of bed.
I know, I did have to set myself an alarm. And there's a lot of pressure because you're like, oh, you get this one trigger. And I was like, have I done it right? Oh my God, don't mess this up. But it's really easy. It's a pre-filled syringe and it was just in. So that was the last jab. And then, yeah, went in Friday morning.
How were you now feeling?
Now, I was...
Before yeah, going in?
I was feeling quite good.
Yeah.
Yeah, just ready to crack on, I think. Bit nervous, obviously, but just ready to crack on. And, yeah, got there. I wasn't allowed any food in the morning or coffee. And, yeah, I mean, we'll come to that later because, yeah, I was demanding flat whites as I was being... wheeled out under heavy sedation. I have no recollection of it, but I think it's because I didn't get my morning coffee. But you're nil by mouth, so I went in and yeah, they kind of take your blood pressure, talk to you about it, and Mr. Brooker was there. Woohoo!
He's so good. He's
I love
so
him.
Good. He's great. He's such he a celebrity, like... isn't he?
Oh my God, I literally feel when I've spoken to him, I'm like, oh my God. I once saw him in the clinic when I was waiting for like an appointment. I just saw him walk past. I was like, oh my God, it's Dr. Brecker.
Yeah. I'm always a bit starstruck by him. I always feel yeah. like I'm not quite as
not worthy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was nice to see him. And he was the one doing the procedure. And he's so funny. Did I tell you this? He described it like a computer game.
He loves his analogies.
Yeah, he was like, I love egg collection. It's like a computer game. I see him on the screen and I get him.
All I just think of was like Crash cool. Bandicoot.
Yeah, and Cole was like, did he just describe you as a computer game? I'm like, yep, I'm a Nintendo Switch. Like, yeah, very funny. But yeah, then wheeled me in and they put the cannula in. I've got a little bruise actually. I don't know if you can see
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I can.
There we go.
Of course,
yeah.
Quite a big bruise.
Yeah, the cannula, that's the worst bit, the cannula going in. And it's like a needle and it stays under your skin to administer the drugs.
Yeah.
To put you to sleep. So that's the worst bit going in. And then whilst it's in, it stays in for quite a while and you can feel it. And it does stay in for a little while. But then, yeah, the nurse was like, oh, I'll just give you some drugs to relax you. And I was like, oh, this is nice. And so I kind of drifted off. And then the next thing I knew, I was awake in the little bay, back in the bay with Carl. He was trying to make sure I was okay, but I wasn't really with it. I asked him for a flat white. I went, can you get me a flat white? And he just goes, yeah, sure, whatever. And apparently I asked the nurse for a flat white. This is a thing, like when you come out of sedation, you say a lot of rubbish. You talk absolute nonsense a lot of the time. I can't remember any of this. Apparently they were wheeling me back through and I said to the nurse, can you get me a flat white? And she went, oh, and I think she was playing along. She went, regular milk? And I just went, yeah, just regular milk. I'm not one of them. How rude is that? Like, not one of those types. Like, just normal for me. It's so funny, so sassy. Anyway, I didn't get my flat white, but I did get tea and biscuits. So that
was
nice.
What biscuits?
Yeah, and
they?
Then custard creams.
The best.
Yeah. Yeah, aww. And then Carl... went, he had to go with a little box with my eggs in and he went off to the other clinic because we have this weird setup where, not weird, but this slightly unusual setup where our embryology happens at a different clinic. So he got in the car and he took the special box, special container in the footwell of the car. And now I say to him, that was like the first ever dad's taxi. Do you know what I mean? I was like, that could be, you know, that's the first of ferrying your kids around. Like, aww, get used to it. He was like, oh, yeah. So he took them all over. And then he did his bit, obviously. Mm-hmm. his sperm sample. And yeah, then they counted the eggs. And drum roll, we had 10 eggs.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, and I was, yeah, really pleased with that. I was like, yes, 10 eggs, great. And then we would find out the next day how many were mature and how many fertilised. So yeah, I was sat there for a while waiting for Carl to come back, because he has to come back and then come and get me. But his stuff was all fine. Like, his numbers, they were like, obviously we know. Actually, one area had improved slightly. Sperm is so changeable, isn't it? It's so hard to kind of guess where it's going to be. But they looked at his sample. They were like, this is perfect. This is exactly what we need for ICSI, which is what we're doing. And then he came to get me, and we went home and we had a Wagamama's, and it was very nice. Well, you know, it was, I was like quite sore and tender. And yeah, the recovery from egg collection was longer, has been, I'm still feeling quite battered, if I'm honest, longer than I expected. But yeah, but then we had a chilled night just at home, went to bed, popped some paracetamol. And then the next morning, so the next day they phone you and they tell you how many of your eggs were mature and how many are fertilised. And I was so nervous for this because, you know, some people have no eggs fertilised. Oh. So this is a big, it's a big moment. And she phoned me quite early. It was a morning call, which is good. Mm. So, I don't know if it was an embryologist. I think it might have been.
I think it usually is.
Yeah, I think so. But this lovely lady, I think her name was Georgia, not sure. It was all a bit of a blur. She phoned me and she said, I'm pleased to tell you. And I was like, she's pleased to tell me. This must be good. She said that 9 of your 10 eggs were mature. And so quality, like, I was like, oh yeah, we did get like 9, you know, good ones. And she said 6 of them have fertilised.
Which is great.
Yeah.
It's really, really
so we
great.
Have 6 that have started up, that are on their way. Obviously that was yesterday. We get another check-in tomorrow. And we get told how they're doing, if they're still going. You know, if there's been a drop off or anything, but I'm just like, again, fixating on the numbers, but hoping that 6 is enough to carry us through, you know?
Yeah, and that is really nerve-wracking. It's this weight. And I think that's probably the point that, you know, most people don't really, who perhaps haven't gone through this, really necessarily know about, because they kind of think, oh, you just do IVF. And
and then you get a baby.
Yeah, and then if it doesn't work, you just do another round. And it's kind of like, well, hang on, there's all this waiting that is
so
really,
much waiting.
It's excruciating, the waiting.
Mm-hmm.
So you've gotten through one round of the waiting.
That's the first round. Yeah, I was like, we're through to judges' houses, guys. To use the old X Factor again. But yeah, so we've got 6 that I think, I don't know, they could be still going by now, because that was yesterday.
Yeah.
Tomorrow we'll get another check-in. But you know what I find absolutely mad is that there's something out there that is made up of me and Carl put together.
Yeah.
That's made up of both of us. And it exists now.
Outside but of it, you.
Outside of me, not in my body, outside of me, a long way away. Well, you know, a good several miles away and in a lab somewhere. And I'm just like, oh God, I just want to be watching over these little embryos. I feel really weirdly protective of them already.
Yeah.
I'm like, I just want to watch them and make sure. I'm like, God, I hope they're all right. I just keep thinking of them. I'm like, oh, are you okay, little embryos? Are you developing?
Can you imagine if we did have them in our houses? We would literally not leave. We'd be checking every 5 minutes.
Oh my God. Yeah, and I keep Googling, like, what does a day 2 embryo look like? Like, what might they look like by now? That sort of thing. But what's mad is that one of those could be our baby.
Or more.
Could end up. Or more.
You never know.
The whole gang. Yeah. I mean, we're not the Von Trapps, don't get me wrong. I don't think we're not going to have a whole, like, 7 kids or anything. But yeah, so it's been a full-on week.
Yeah. How are you feeling about tomorrow?
Well, I was just going to say, I'm feeling in general a bit battered.
Mm.
I feel like it's the whole thing from the jabs and the hormones and the procedure. And today especially, I was like, oh God, that's why I think the recovery's been longer than I thought. I'm still like, oh, I just want to be up to full speed. But yeah, I'm just taking it steady. And then tomorrow, I think I feel all right. I'm really hopeful that, you know, that our six have got a good chance. And you know what? Now, again, it's that whole thing of kind of resetting your sights. We'll see how many we still got going. Mm. And yeah, I am hopeful. I'm hopeful that we've got, you know, that six will take us through. Mm. And I would just absolutely love, you know, one to put back and one to freeze would be the ideal. I'd love to have more. I think we always want as many as possible because that's more chances, isn't it? And we hope it's going to work first time. Brilliant. But we know the reality of it is it doesn't for so many people. So we just want as many chances kind of banked, which feels quite weird talking about it like that because I know that they're potential children, like there are potential babies, and I'm like, let's bank them in the freezer. But do you know what I mean? I say that with all the love and with all the, you know, God, I already feel so protective. I think we both feel so protective of these embryos. It's so funny, when Carl was going to the clinic, he put the, like, gave him the box, and then he was like, oh, can I just use the toilet? And they were like, yeah, it's just over there, you can leave this here with us if you want. And he went, no, I'm taking them with me. And they kind of laughed at him. They were like, oh, all right. And he was like, they're my eggs, they're my wife's eggs.
He's got to be a responsible dad.
Do you know what I mean? He got, like, child neglect, you know. He was like, I'm not letting them out of my sight, which I thought was so cute.
Aww.
So yeah, we're already feeling quite attached to these little embryos. Aww. But you know what, like, I feel proud of us that we've come this far. Like, we've got quite a few steps now under our belt, but that it feels like there's still a long way to go. I've not even thought about, like, the 2-week wait or anything, because next, so this is the thing, so next we're looking towards a transfer on Wednesday. If all is looking okay with my lining, because during the egg collection, they did spot a bit of fluid in my womb. Mm. So they said this could just be a bit of cervical mucus because I have had loads of estrogen in my body. So they said it's probably that. They were like, we reckon that's most likely because your lining still looks good and nice and thick. But they were like, we're just a little bit concerned it might be the lining starting to break down, which we do not want.
Yeah.
So they said if it's the second scenario, we would have to freeze everything and then plan for a frozen embryo transfer at a later date, which, you know what, I'm like, fine, absolutely fine. I'd rather put one back when it's got the best chance of working.
Yeah.
It'd be lovely to press ahead and do the, you know, the fresh transfer and everything, but I totally understand that reasoning. And so on Wednesday morning, they're going to scan me and just check the lining. And then we're going to assume that we're pressing ahead with the transfer. But if anything's wrong at that scan, they will press pause on it all. So there's a slight chance I might have to freeze everything. But, you know, we don't know that yet. And the likelihood is that we may well go ahead. So we could be doing a transfer on Wednesday.
You're going to be feeling so many mixed emotions, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Like, probably because I think you said yesterday, because I do get really worried saying to people, oh, it's exciting, because it's like, oh, because it may not be, but it is exciting but also terrifying.
Yeah, and actually I said to you, no, that's okay, because I am quite excited for this bit. If we end up with usable embryos, I will be excited to put one back. And I'm quite, in a way, I'm weirdly looking forward to the prospect of a transfer because, you know, that might be the first glimpse of our baby.
Yeah, and it may, and it's probably the furthest that you guys have ever been. Do you know what I mean?
Well, this is the thing as well. I do think, again, my non-medical opinion, I do wonder if this is the furthest we've ever got compared to our own, because, you know, we have male factor issues, so it's very likely that sperm and egg just weren't meeting.
Yeah.
And now they've met and they like each other. They went on a date and it went well. I'm like, I just picture them, like, you know, having a little dinner together, or a little like, ooh, hey.
First date.
So now they have met, yeah. But yeah, it's blowing my mind a little bit, but it's been a really big week. But what I do want to do is, after transfer, I mean, I'm getting ahead of myself, if we get to transfer, I would like to obviously go and get some McDonald's chips afterwards.
It's so important, isn't it?
Because
it's the obligatory sort of...
You have to. There is a myth out there, guys. I think it is a myth.
It is
that
a myth.
Eating McDonald's fries can help a transfer be successful. Can help get you pregnant after embryo transfer. I don't know if this was McDonald's coming up with this PR.
It's actually very clever if it is.
So clever. Yeah. But I do think that we're going to try and do something nice after the transfer if we're so lucky to get there. Because I really want to mark, if we're feeling all right, obviously, I really want to mark the day and just maybe go for a little dinner or something. But that's probably because I'm like, any excuse to go out for dinner. Yeah. Like, be nice to have a little date night. No wine, obviously.
Yeah.
I do miss wine a little bit, but, you know,
I had my first,
it's been a dry Jan.
Yeah, I had my first proper craving for a glass of red wine.
Like, did you?
Oh, my God, it was really weird. It was like, actually, it was on the way to the hospital. It was like midday or something, and I was like,
midday.
What do you do with a glass of red wine?
Could like... really do with a big glass of red. Yeah. Oh, well. Our time will come. And also, I'm hoping that it might be a dry year. Fingers
that's
crossed.
That's what I hoped. I was like, well,
exactly.
I'm afraid, Sian, that's not going to happen for probably a year. It's that's what I
off
hope.
Off the cards. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's been a big week for us. But that is, I think that's us. That's it. We're both all right. We're feeling a bit battered and bruised. Me physically, Carl emotionally, but we're looking forward to an update tomorrow, checking in on those little MBs. But enough about me, Sian.
Well,
how are you?
Well, my sort of week hasn't been quite so adventurous as yours.
Yours is coming up though.
Yeah, this week is the big one for me.
Yeah.
If we are lucky enough to get there, and I always feel like I want to say that because, you know, there is a lot of people out there, possibly people listening, I don't know, who, you know, have had their egg collections cancelled. So, you know, none of this is a given. So I'm aware of that. I'm especially aware of that after the last Friday's scan, where they obviously said that, you know, it could potentially not be going ahead. So I think
and that it could stop at any time.
Yes, and so from that moment onwards, I don't find going to these scans particularly easy. Because I'm like,
no.
Oh my God, what if this happens? What if that happens?
Yeah.
And actually, I did have... So, let me explain. So, last scan, I was told, right, just keep on going. I had a scan on Friday. At the same time, around the same time as you were having your egg collection, I was in the car.
You were upstairs, I was downstairs.
And it was so funny because I kept I went to go and like leave a message for you for when you woke up and you kept listening to it.
Yeah, I was still there, still awake. And you were like, Catherine, you probably won't get this now. So when you wake up, I just want you to remember. And I was like, no, still here. Still awake. And you were like, oh, trying to leave an emotional message.
Yeah, I was like, oh, for goodness sake, she's online.
she's alive. yeah, but it was so nice. You checking in.
Actually, I think that's important if anyone's out there who wants to, if there's other people going through it, you know, and they're like, ooh, I don't know what to do to support my friend. That's a really nice thing to do. I assume so. I haven't been through it yet. So Friday happened. And just prior to that, actually ages ago, kind of beginning of, I think it was the end of October, I did like a vagina microbiome test because it's all the rage right now. I just want to caveat that with, I know that there's interesting investigations going along with this, and I know that there's lots of people kind of saying that this is possibly the internal environment is something to look at. And I think that's true. I do think that's mm-hmm. true.
And this is, to be clear, because I didn't really know, I'm still not quite sure what it is. This is the vaginal microbiome, and it's kind of to do with bacteria.
Yeah, it's the ecosystem within that area. It's the same as the gut microbiome that, you know, is...
Yes, which is very trendy right
very
now.
Very trendy. So I did that because I thought, why not? And I did it, and I completely forgot about it. And then I got the results last weekend, and I can't lie, I freaked out. Completely freaked out because I saw that I can never pronounce it, the lactobacillus, I can't pronounce it, lactobacteria, I don't know. Anyway, that was not as high as it should be. So basically, I did all the Googling in the world.
Yeah. Oh, Sian.
Yeah. I have a really,
what have we said?
I know. I have the worst... I've realised through this that I can get quite obsessive. And I...
Yeah.
This is my new obsession, basically.
I feel like Google is at the tip of our fingers nowadays. So it's so easily done, isn't it? You know, we're just always Googling things all the time. So it's totally understandable.
Yeah, it is. And so that kind of said, I was like looking at like freaking PubMed medication stuff saying, you know, you need this, like people with lower of that bacteria means that there's lower chances of IVF working. So obviously I freaked the hell out.
Yeah, of course.
And, which I would. And then what I did, because by the way, I do all the things, probiotics. I mean, guys, I'm having enough yogurt right now, guys. I'm eating a lot of yogurt. So if anyone messages and says, just have some yogurt, I have yogurt, guys. I have it every morning.
She loves a yogurt.
Yeah, natural Greek yogurt. Yes, no sugar. So, with loads of berries and flax seeds and chia seeds.
I
and
don't.
Nuts. I mean, like, a
I have
lot.
A bacon sandwich.
Oh, man.
Do you know what I mean?
That. Yeah, I would love that. So, like, diet is on point. Anyway, so basically, I sent my query to the clinic, and they were amazing. They emailed me not that long, kind of later in the day, because I remember asking you, Catherine, I was like, they haven't responded. Oh my God, my treatment's going to get cancelled. And you were like, it's not going to get cancelled. They just do it later in the day.
Yeah. So they're busy scanning people in the day.
Yeah, you're right.
They're busy being nurses and being NHS heroes.
Exactly. How dare I expect them to stop their day and focus on me? But they did respond, and they were like, I'll talk to Dr. Brooker about it. And see what he says. And then they came back and said, he says, basically, let's crack on, no changes to the treatment plan. So that was really good. Of course, I can't leave it there. Andrew always says,
oh,
this.
No.
No.
Where would be the fun in that?
No. Andrew just can't. It's so funny because he was like, Sian, just leave it alone. Leave it alone. It's all sorted.
You're like, no!
I was like, no, I must know. I think it's hard because we don't have a proper diagnosis, right?
Yeah,
so
that is
me,
hard.
So for me, I am searching. And I've realised as well that because this is so out of our control, all of what we're going through, it's just like one thing where I'm like, okay, I need an answer. Anyway, whatever. I managed to, bless them, they were so kind. They said, instead of doing your scan at this time, come in at this time instead on Friday and see Dr. Brooker, and he can talk you through. So, which is
and
amazing.
And he came up straight after my ex, didn't he?
He did.
You texted me, you were like, he's on his way up. I'm like, yep, he is.
And that's where, yes, it was. And I think, you know, I said, oh, you've just seen Catherine. He's just been doing her egg collection. And he said, oh, yes, yes, I have. He sort of said that. And then we sat down.
Did he say she's been demanding flat whites?
Actually didn't say that.
Can you
that.
Imagine? No.
Blah.
She's talking rubbish. Anyway.
But I felt so like, oh, my gosh, it's Mr. Dr. Brooker. I felt quite like, I felt embarrassed in a way that I pulled him in. I did say, I'm really sorry.
Well, they offered you that time, didn't they? Which is amazing.
Yeah.
So clearly you had concerns and you have fears. And so I think better to do that and have a proper chat about it and better allay those fears than kind of leave it ticking over.
Absolutely, absolutely. And he was really, really great. And he just said, you know, I'm a doctor. I feel like I don't want to put words in his mouth because he'll probably say, when I next see him, I didn't say that. But he basically, along the lines of, said that, you know, I'm a medical, like, I'm a, you know, he is someone who bases everything on science. And he said, there is no science behind this. He says, I'm not saying that it's something to completely discard, but he says, I'm going to be honest, it's not something that I would advise doing anything about. That's what he said. And he said, it's not going to change. He said, it's not going to be the make or break as to whether it works or not. And that was really, really helpful. And he also said, and then he also, which was great, he had a look at my, because I had a scan before then as well.
Tell us about your scan.
Oh, yes. So I
had and about what they said about it.
So I had a scan with Aoife, who was lovely.
I love Aoife. She's nice.
So great. And we were kind of talking about how no one can ever spell our names or pronounce them. and we, did the scan, which I don't find scans that easy, everybody. I don't find them very easy. I don't know, I've probably said this before, but basically I have a thing where it only happens in medical situations where all the muscles, unfortunately, down there in my pelvic floor just completely contract. And it just makes it quite a painful experience, which is not good, obviously. Yeah. And I've usually had to just fight my way through smears, and I've had, people have been very, kind of very disregarded it, basically.
And that's a shame.
Yeah, which is a shame. But actually, it was this clinic who didn't. They said this is a very real thing that people suffer from, and we're going to help you through all of this, which is really nice. And I got through, the scans are fine. Like, I do it myself, basically, which is fine. And she saw 18 follicles at the moment, which is good.
Yay.
Happy with that. And I think what's helped, I have to say, Catherine, is I've seen you go through
seen me freak out.
Yeah, and go through all of the sort of going through one end and then coming out the other end happy.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's kind of helped me in a way, because I feel like, well, that's good. If we can get kind of, you know, a good, decent number and they're good quality, then we're good. That's kind of the new bar that's been set. So that's basically what happened. And then she had a little look at the results. And I obviously don't really understand how to read these graphs. But she was kind of saying, you know, they're developing quite, you know, slowly, but they are developing. I kind of had hoped that they would be maybe more along than what they were. And you were very reassured about that.
Yeah, because I said this, because there's this red line and she's like, eventually we want them over the line. And by the time I went for my egg collection, on the Wednesday before the Friday of my egg collection, I was like, well, none of them are over the, like, no, I think maybe four of them were over the line. And so that line, you again, we're high achievers, Sian, aren't we? We're like, get them over the line. But actually, they get there. But Aoife told me that once they get to a certain size, they keep developing on their own. They don't need the drugs so much. And they do get there. And I said, no, Sian, I said, like, they will be. But even, you know, when they were like, great, you're ready, not many of mine were over the line. But they keep going.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That did reassure me. Because I did kind of say to her, oh gosh, kind of looking at it, I said, do you think that I need a higher dose? And that's when she kind of said, look, possibly, but, you know, you're going to be seeing Dr. Brooker, so he'll have a look at it. And she said, you may not need to be honest, because they will just grow. And then when I saw him, he had a little look at the chart. And then he went, yep, we can do better than this. Let's double it. And I was like, okay, we're doubling it all. We're going from
double the dose.
Four.
Oh my God, that's a lot. Because I went from 2 powders to 3 powders when they upped my dose.
Yeah.
But you've doubled it.
Yeah, doubled.
Eek.
I know. And then I was just like, okay, cool. And then I also talked to him as well, because I don't know if you guys remember, but we were talking about this possibility of going to Paris next Saturday.
Yeah.
Which is so lovely. And oh my God, I really, really want to go. But I did talk to Dr. Brooker about it. And he said, look, if it was on Wednesday, the egg collection, you might be okay to go. But he said, he says he doesn't know. He says, I don't 100% know. But he said, from what I'm seeing, it's more likely to be Friday. And then he was like, the next day, you're not going to feel it. You're going to feel awful.
And I can tell you this now from experience, you are not going to want to hop on a Eurostar and have a nice time in Paris. You're going to be on the sofa.
Yeah. And I felt, again, really silly asking him that question. But I said, look, this is obviously the most important thing, but I just want to know your personal opinion. And he was just like, I really think, also, if there's any complications, you're in France.
Yeah. Wee wee. Yeah, sipping a Merlot. Oh, you're not.
No, I won't be doing that.
No, you're not. I was joking. But she's at the Moulin Rouge. She can't come back, sorry.
I'm doing the can-can, guys. I just basically was like, okay, that's good to know. And luckily, not that anyone probably cares, we're gonna move it to March. So it just, you know,
we care, of course we care.
Well, what I mean,
and that's
is
good,
it
you can proper matter enjoy it,
but Paris doesn't matter in that regard, do you know what I mean? But it matters to us because we wanted to go, but it's fine, we'll go another time.
Paris will always be there.
Exactly. So yeah, I think it's gonna happen on Friday, and Friday is my birthday.
Oh my God, as if. And you, it's so funny as well, it's just so ironic, because you were like, great, I'm gonna get in for egg collection before my birthday, before I turn 36. And I need to tell you again now that your eggs don't know it's their birthday. They're not gonna be like 36 today.
So we're gonna change quality because they were 36.
Oh yeah, exactly. It's gonna be the same as 2 days before, but it's, that's so funny. As if, like, what a birthday present. Eggs.
It's so funny. It's gonna be weird. I've already got a non-alcoholic bottle of I don't know, Prosecco-y type thing in the fridge, which would be nice for Friday. If I feel, I may not feel like it. What did you eat?
So I came round and I was so hungry, and I had a bunch of M&S snacks. M&S, guys, not just any snacks. And I got, you know, they do those little like picky bits.
Yeah,
I love those picky bits. Yeah, I was like, I just need something to look forward to when I come round. So I had the chicken and chorizo empanadas. Ooh, and nice. Dr. Brooker came back and he was chatting to me and I was shoving this empanada in my mouth. I was like, oh, yeah. He was like, you all right? I was like, yeah, really hungry. But I just had a load of little snacks. I had some, like, a little dip, like a little guacamole dip thing, and some tortillas.
Oh.
I was really excited for my little hospital picnic that I packed, but yeah.
Oh, that's and, nice.
I didn't get my flat white, sadly.
Did you not?
I know people on our Instagram. No, people on our Instagram, because I put that clip up of me groggily asking Carl for a flat white, and he was like, "I've got to go deliver your eggs." I'm like, "Give me a flat white," and everyone found it quite funny, which I found it. And by the way, I asked Carl to film me. I was like, "When I come round, film me because I think it'll be funny," and it turns out it was quite funny. So that wasn't him doing it off his own back. Yeah. I was like, please film me, it's hilarious. And he was just like, yeah, sure, whatever. And then everyone was like, did you get your flat white? And I was like, no, I didn't.
I didn't.
But
know
to be
that.
Fair, I know. I'm so sad. I think unacceptable behaviour from Carl, really. But no, he had a lot on a bigger job to do than to go out and get me a coffee.
Yes.
And by the time he got back, it was a bit late for a coffee anyway. He was like, come on, let's just get you home.
Yeah.
But I did have my cup of tea, so that's all right. Yeah, I didn't feel too sick, but I think a lot of people do feel quite sick when they come around.
guess we'll see what happens if we get to that point. But I've got a scan tomorrow, so we'll see.
Okay, so you're back in tomorrow.
Back in tomorrow
morning.
See those
little follies.
See those follies. And, yeah, just check and see what's happening. But it could be Wednesday, it could be Friday, if all goes well.
How are you feeling about it?
I'm
coming up.
Really glad that I'm being sedated for it. I feel like women, especially, like, even when they go through childbirth and all sorts, we go through some pretty horrible things. And I'm just glad that pain relief is there.
So yes.
I'm really glad for that. Grateful for that. I feel okay, mainly because you've gone through it and you're fine. So in my head, I'm like, it will be fine. Do you know what I mean?
I'm still here, still alive.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I can give you a bit of a heads up. I mean, everyone's different, but I think that's probably, I don't know, because I've not done the whole thing, but that might be physically the hardest bit. That's the hardest bit so far, physically. And you know what? It's all right. We did it. I'm glad we did it. And yeah, the recovery's a bit, I'm very slow at the moment. We took the dog to the park earlier just for a little walk, because I do want to keep moving and do what I can. But I went out to the park, and just going to the park and back, which is like 5 minutes down the road, was enough. So take it really steady. But yeah, and then after you've done it, you'll be like, great, that's that done, you know?
Yeah, I think that'll be a relief. I feel apprehensive. I mean, I've still got to get through work this week, guys. So, you know, and that's it's full on, you know, if you're a teacher.
It doesn't let up, does it, your work? Because you went back after your scans the other day, and I think you said you just, you know, you taught one lesson, but it was really important that you go back to teach that one. And, you know, teaching demands so much of you, doesn't it?
Yeah. And also, even when I got back, it was quite weird. My A-level students, they were like, Miss, where were you? We really needed you for our devising this morning. Like, we needed help. And I was like, bless you.
Oh, guys.
So, like, obviously, it comes from a really lovely place. And I'm very lucky to have, like, amazing students. But equally, I was like, oh, my God. Like, I cannot tell you why.
No. It's a long story, guys.
Yeah, like, it's a long story. I might tell you if it works and it goes all right, but not right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, just got to get through, this week, and then
we'll see how we go.
I tell you what, though, the double dose, I do feel nauseous.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel a lot more nauseous, and I feel like I'm very aware of, it's not a cramp, but it's like a dull ache in my ovaries.
Well, by the end of my stims, my ovaries actually felt heavy. It's almost like I could feel them moving around. It's so weird. And I was so bloated. I sent you that picture of my tummy, didn't I? And I was like, it's so ironic that I look pregnant right now.
I know.
And I'm still kind of bloated and a bit like swollen and stuff. And I'm like, ugh.
I know.
It's not very comfortable, is it? And you're on even more medication than I was, so.
No. It's a lot. I do feel sick. I feel really bloated. But I mean, I don't know. We're just carrying on, aren't we? But I do think this week in particular, I am going to be, I've just got to really, really put myself first, you know?
Yeah. Well, we kind of said this before, didn't we? That all we have to do right now is look after us. All Sian has to do is look after Sian. That's your one job. Look after you. Do what you need to. Don't do the extra mile at the moment. Just do the miles in front of you. Do what you need to do, you know?
Yeah.
And put yourself first a little bit.
I know.
It's hard.
It's hard. Did also, I don't know if you found this, but I've been really craving sugar. Have you?
Not really. I've been craving weird foods, and I don't know, I get full quite quickly because I feel like I'm quite bloated.
Yeah, I feel the same.
So
I do get sugar. Full, but sugar, my God.
Yeah. What's your sugar of choice?
Oh, I mean, we've got to be careful. Again, another Google. Refined sugar doesn't help, but...
Oh.
But, like, sometimes I'm like, I just need a little pick-me-up, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Think about how much we give up for this and how much we put ourselves through. You deserve a little bit of Haribo if you want a bit of Haribo. Mm. I think that's allowed.
I think that's allowed too.
Yeah. You've got to be kind to yourself, my love. I don't think you're very good at being kind to yourself all the time.
No. I think I am pretty hard on myself, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, end of 1 week.
Yeah.
Beginning of another big week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you've got your transfer Wednesday, hopefully.
Next week, guys, it's going to be a bumper episode. Sian's egg collection, my transfer, hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all go.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it. I cannot believe we're here. Oh, my gosh, Catherine, the other thing I was going to say was I cannot believe people get pregnant without having to do this.
Oh, my God. I completely agree. I was thinking about this when I was in after egg collection, and I was just like, it blows my mind that some people don't have to do this to have children. Some people do it by accident, and I'm like, how? Sorry. You mean you didn't inject yourself twice a day? Do you know what I mean? Because I think this process becomes quite normalised for us now. We're like, yeah, what dose are you on? Great. How are your follicles? Great. Like, there are women out there who don't know how many follicles they have. How mad is that?
Or what a follicle is.
Do you know what I mean?
Mad. Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. But, you know, I'm proud of us. Proud of Carl, proud of Andrew.
Yeah, really proud.
We're doing it.
And we've got a really hell of a story to share, won't we, by the end of this?
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Mm. Exactly. And there's lots of other people going through it too. So, you know, we're not alone. We are not alone.
Yeah, and by the way, it's so nice to see everybody messaging on the IVF, BFF. Instagram. I thought it was so nice people asking after you, Catherine. I thought that was brilliant.
Oh my God, I know. Like, they're actually, like, invested. They actually care about me. That's so cute.
Yeah,
so they're nice. Like, how are you? Is it okay? I feel like this group of people, they know. They just get it.
Yeah.
So that's probably quite a good place for us to maybe leave it, but say that if you want to follow us again on Instagram, please come on over. We are at IVFBFFpod. And you can email us, Sian, how can they email us?
At IVFBFFpod@gmail.com.
Correct. So yeah, it's testing you there. So big love to you, Sian, and to everybody.
Yeah, and to you and everyone listening.
Yeah, and we will catch up in a week.
See what happens.
All right.
All right.
Yeah. We got this.
Yeah, we got this. All right. See you guys.
Sending you all the love, guys.
Love.
Bye-bye. Bye.